I, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari. All glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru Gauranga Sri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Omagana Timanandasha Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshur and Meditam Yena Tasmai Shigurve Namaha. So I can choose my own topic? Okay, so what I'd like to talk about is a little controversial topic in the Lord's pastimes. Recently and continually, people ask me this one question about Lord Ram's pastimes, which is, why did Lord Ram send Sita Devi into the forest? And we're going to explain that, as well as why did Lord Chaitanya reject his wife and take sannyas? He didn't reject her. Why did he take sannyas at such an early age? When he was 24, she was like 16. And why did Krishna leave Vrindavan when he was 16? So you got parallels between these three personalities, three appearances of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And basically, I'm going to explain why it's always for the same purpose, exoterically and esoterically. There's two words. It's important that we learn these two words. This is not loud enough. Thank you. Thank you. So, exoterically means what we're really accustomed to understand about the Lord's pastimes, like Vrijanaya Sadunam Vinashaya Chatushkritam. Everybody knows that verse? That the Lord comes to establish religious principles, annihilate the miscreants, and protect the devotees. And then esoteric is something a little more difficult to understand, which means his own internal purposes that are hard to understand. So let's start with Lord Ramchandra, because this causes a lot of confusion for people when they think, there's this stupid washerman. You all know the story of Lord Ram? Or mine, I think most of you, of Ram Bhaktas. Of course, you come from South India, not so many Ram Bhaktas. North India, there's more Ram Bhaktas. So, why did this stupid washerman say what he did, and why did that influence Lord Ram? Okay. So, Lord Ram was in charge of the kingdom in Ram Raj Ayodhya, and it was reported to him that some of the citizens were actually criticizing him for sending Sita Devi, or bringing Sita Devi back, because she had been in the house of Ravan for a long time. And now, traditionally, of course we don't do that now with the ladies, like they've gone to someone else's house, they don't kick them away. I hope not. So traditionally, you know, if it wasn't known where a lady went for a particular period of time, guess what? She couldn't get married. That's also happened with Krishna's wives, 16,100 Krishna's wives, right? Because they were kidnapped by Bhomasura. Bhomasura was Krishna's son, actually, by the earth and by his incarnation of Varahadeva. So they were kidnapped by Bhomasura, and they came to Krishna after Krishna rescued them, and they said, Krishna, no one else is going to marry us. And Krishna said, no problem. I'll marry all of you. Krishna's the best brahmachari. So in the case of Lord Ram, we have this citizens who were actually criticizing Lord Ram, and then Lord Ram put on a disguise. And he went out to hear if the citizens were actually criticizing him. Because even if someone is a king, he's open to criticism. In the Vedic system, even an ordinary citizen had the right to come and criticize the king without getting killed. Like another story in the Ramayana, is that once upon a time, a dog came to make a criticism. A dog came to Ayodhya, the palace in Ayodhya, and the dog was barking. And the dog said, let me in. I want to speak to Ram. So Lakshman went out and said, what do you want? The dog said, I want to speak to Ram. And Ram eventually said, let him in. And the dog said, I have a complaint to make. A Brahmin hit me. And Lord Ram called for the Brahmin. And he said to the Brahmin, did you hit this dog? And the Brahmin said, yes, because I was hungry. Good excuse when you're hungry to hit someone. And so Lord Ram said, how should we punish this particular Brahmin? Nobody knew how to punish him. Because you're not really supposed to punish Brahmins. And so the dog said, I know how to punish the Brahmin. You make him temple president. So for those of you who want to be in charge, or, you know, president of ISKCON Charlotte, here's a problem for you. So anyway, you make him, some of you know the story. You make him the president of the mandali or the group, whatever. And you make him temple president. And everyone was shocked. Why did the dog say make him temple president? That appears to be a reward. Everyone wants to be in charge, right, the president. And Ram said, why don't you ask the dog? And the dog said, well, guess what? My last life, I was temple president. That's how I got to be a dog. Because the temple president is responsible for all the bad activities that are done in his temple. Anyone here want to be a temple president now? Raise your hand. Ladies, you know. Nobody wants to be a dog in the next life. So anyway, Prabhupada also made a comment about Yamaraj. He said Yamaraj was one of Krishna's GBC men because he made a mistake by punishing the sage, Mandavya Muni. He had to become a sudra in his next life. So Prabhupada said that may happen with the GBCs now. Anyway, that's another issue. So Lord Ram put on a disguise to hear what people were saying about him. He went out and he heard this washerman say, I'm not going to let my wife back because she was out. I don't know where she was. She's not coming back. I'm not like that Lord Ram who's henpecked by his wife. And so when Lord Ram heard that, he became very sad, of course. And he told Lakshman, take Sita Devi away and drop her off in the forest. And it turns out that Sita Devi was pregnant at that time. I mean, it's a really cruel thing, isn't it? Can you imagine? How would you ladies feel that if you're like that if your husband did it to you? Would you be happy? You're expecting a child and your husband says to his brother, take my wife and drop her off where? Somewhere in the forest here in North Carolina? What, in the Appalachian Forest? Let's use a normal thing. Drop her off in the Appalachian Forest. Who? No one would like that. What a cruel thing. You'd probably go to jail for doing that, right? It'd be in the newspapers. Husband drops his wife off in the Appalachian Forest from Charlotte. So Ram told Lakshman. Lakshman didn't want to do it. But eventually he takes Sita Devi, drops her off in the forest, and of course she's taken to the ashram of Valmiki Muni. And there she is separated from Ram for a long time, thousands of years literally, she's separated from Ram in that ashram. And of course eventually she gives birth to Laman Kush, and you all know that story. But the reason I'm telling that story is, why did Ram do that? Of course you can say, on one, the exoteric reason, which we mentioned before, the external reason, Ram wanted to show the duty of a king or president or prime minister that you have to consider the citizens' welfare as important or even more important than your family's welfare. So if one takes the position of a leader, that has to be the mentality. And of course, we see that our president, this is a joke, a president of the United States has taken that position. He considers his family business to be less important than the people of the United States. This is a joke. I have to really make you understand that I want to make Krishna great again. Anyway, so hopefully I don't alienate any conservatives here. So So the point is, Ram is showing the importance of being a leader. You really, personal interests have to be secondary to your primary interests of the citizens. Citizens are called praja, though it means those who are born. Praja also means children. Your children. So the king has to consider even the animals in the kingdom to be like his children. And therefore he has to make sure the animals are not exploited or hurt. So that's external. That's right. More pictures. That's nice. But internally, something else is going on. It's not that Sita is being dealt with cruelly. Of course, Ram is also apparently suffering. Because Ram, he's suffering so much because he has taken this vow of Eka Patni Vrata. And even when he does a sacrifice later on, he has to have a deity of Sita Devi right next to him while he's doing the sacrifice. So for, it's described, 60,000 years he had to rule the kingdom without Sita Devi. That's a long time. Because people live longer in those particular ages, Treta Yuga. So for 60,000 years he doesn't have Sita Devi there, he's lonely, he's feeling separation from Sita Devi. So what is really going on? Now we're going to get to the internal reason. The internal reason is that Ram and Sita, they want to enjoy separation. Now, you may say, wow, what kind of enjoyment is that? Well, first of all, in the mood of separation between the Lord, that's Krishna, and his eternal consort, Ram and his eternal consort, Sita, there's actually connection. Just like we chant Krishna's name. And we're supposed to chant in the mood of separation. Jugayitam nimishena chakshusha pravishayitam shunyayitam jagat sarvam govinda virahena me. We're supposed to chant in the mood of separation, you know, feeling your separation. You know that verse, yeah, good. We're feeling a moment of you like a yuga cycle. Because when you chant in that mood, then you're more focused, and when you're more focused, you're connected. Because the connection between Sita and Ram, or between the devotee and Krishna, is not based upon external conditions. It's dependent upon consciousness. One thing Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur stated, he was talking about people who go to Radha Kund. He said, if you don't have the right consciousness when you go to Radha Kund, Radha Kund becomes Naraka Kund for you. In other words, you've actually gone to hell. Because you are wherever your consciousness is at. You know, like Prabhupada would talk, and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would talk about traveling at the speed of the mind in the Brahma Samhita. He talks about that. So you can travel at the speed of the mind. So Ram and Sita were never separated. And of course we do know that the Sita that was taken by Ravan was actually Maya Sita, but that's a different story. But really there was no separation between Ram and Sita. They were always together, but feeling the separation is connection spiritually. And in the material world, when we feel separation from someone because we're not thinking spiritually, we actually are separated. And when we're with someone, we're also separated. Because there's no real connection. You may say, you know, I'm here, shake my hand. But you're not shaking the other person's hand. The bodies, the two bodies are shaking their hands. And you're the soul within the body. And you're like in a virtual reality. You know what virtual reality is? Some of you may have seen this movie, The Matrix. So you're not really connecting with the other person anyway. I see you. No, you don't. You don't see me. Can I ask any of you, who are you? Who am I? Oh, you're an old man. No, I'm not his body. You don't see me. So any criticism you give me doesn't touch me. Because it's not me. You don't see me. You don't know me. You don't know who I was before. You don't know who I'll be. You don't know my spiritual identity. You don't know anything about me. All you know is you see a body sitting here. Of course, you do know certain things because I'm speaking. That I must be at least trying to be a devotee of Krishna. At least you have that little inkling. So really, but on the spiritual platform, the name is non different than the person. So when Sita is chanting Ram, then guess what? Ram is there. And Ram is in Sita's heart. Just like Hanuman, he opened his heart up, and who was there? Sita and Ram. So there's no separation between Hanuman and Sita and Ram. And there's an interesting story in the Ramayana of how the name of Ram is even more potent than Ram himself. You know, once upon a time, there was a king who created a big offense. He had offended Viswamitra Muni. He was actually told by Narada Muni to offend him. Anyway, you know this story? He was told by Narada Muni to offend Viswamitra Muni by not offering respects. Viswamitra Muni goes, he actually goes to Ram, and he says, Ram, you got to kill this guy. And Ram says, okay, I'll follow your order, Guru Maharaj. I'll kill him. And then this king goes to Hanuman, and he gets Ram. He says, Hanuman, protect me, Hanuman, protect me. And Hanuman says, keep chanting Ram Nam. Ram, 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 Ram Nam Sachehe. They do that at funerals, I know that. So Ram, Ram, Ram. So he's chanting Ram, Ram, Ram. And then Ram can't even hurt the guy. Hanuman's protecting him, chanting Ram, Ram, Ram too. And so this whole pastime was arranged to show that the name of Ram is that just as potent or more potent than Ram himself. So Ram is present there. So Ram and Sita are doing that because they want to experience emotions. See, the whole spiritual relationship, the spiritual world, is based on something called bhava or bhavas. That means spiritual emotions. Just like you hear about rasas. Rasa means spiritual tastes. Doesn't mean relationship, means spiritual tastes. And so there's indirect rasas, like anger, humor, shock, you know, fear. These are indirect rasas. And so the Lord, being Rasa Raj, the king of all rasas, or the Rasa Vihari, is actually a better name, the enjoyer of rasas, he actually wants to enjoy, and Sita wants to enjoy these different rasas of separation. Now you may say that's miserable. But we actually see people in this world deliberately experiencing, as a perverted reflection, these particular rasas. What do I mean? Why do people go to the movies and watch some horror movie? I don't know, when I was young, my parents would take me every Saturday to see the horror movies. You know, Dracula. Heard of them people? He's innocent. All he knows is Christian. I'm sorry. I'm contaminated in his mind. So, and then, because you want to be scared. Or let's say you go to Disney World. How many people here have been to Disney World? Nobody. Or nobody's telling the truth. So you go on these rides that are scary, aren't they? So you pay to get scared. Only one time I went on a roller coaster, and that was it. You know, it was scary. So those desires to experience, you know, the emotion of fear, the emotion of anger, the emotion... I mean, why do you watch a cricket game? Because you get angry, right? When you watch a cricket game? Especially when Pakistan wins. Don't you get angry when Pakistan wins? They never win. They do. So, because you want to enjoy anger. So these indirect rasas are reflected in this world, as Krishna describes in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, in a perverted way. So everything that we like to enjoy, Krishna, Ram, he likes to enjoy too. So separation. I mean, sometimes the ladies, they go see these love movies. Bollywood movies. And they start crying in the middle of the movies. Any of you ladies ever cry in a movie? No? Yes. You cry. You cry, oh, my dear whatever. whatever name, you know, Devi Dasi. Devi Dasi and Krishna Dasi are separated. Oh no, when will you see each other? Oh, there's some brother-in-law that's trying to interfere with your marriage or your loving affair or something. So anyway, so that you have this mood of separation, and people read books about it, watch movies about it, because they want to experience this mood. That's in the material world that's called vicarious enjoyment. You try to enjoy through someone else's activities. That's a fancy word you can learn, vicarious. That means you read about something and you're sort of enjoying as if you were the person. So Krishna, everything that we like to enjoy, all those particular rasas, and bhavas are like extreme emotions, like vibhavas. Bhavas that excite your emotions. That means vibhava, that means which stimulates an emotion. Things connected to Krishna or Krishna directly. And anubhavas, the expressions that follow your initial excitement. Actually, this is a quick nectar devotion class. And then sattvika bhavas, the bhavas that are there always with you. And Vyabhachari Bhavas, that means uncontrolled, intermittent ecstasies that occur at any moment. Like one time Prabhupada was visiting the temple, actually of Atlanta, and he started to talk about Bahu Dvijanam Nittai Gauracham, about Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and he went into trance. That's called the Vyabhachari Bhava. So emotions, Krishna consciousness is full of emotions, and Krishna wants to enjoy it, and Ram wants to enjoy those emotions. He doesn't want a boring life. Imagine how boring the Ramayana would be. Ram and Sita got married. No Ravan. No washerman. And they lived happily ever after. Even Ram would get bored with such a life. Isn't it? Like Krishna, when he gets married, sure, I mean, he doesn't send any of his wives away from Dwarka. But when he gets married, some of the wives are nagging him. You know, does any man like to get nagged? You should. Krishna likes to get nagged. You know, that's called henpecked. You heard that expression before? Henpecked. Like a chicken or a hen goes. It's when a wife nags a husband. So Krishna likes that. He wants to enjoy that. He gets nagged by Satyabhama. Satyabhama is saying, you gave Rukmini the Parajata flower. What about me? Get it for me. In other words, she's saying to Krishna, I'll make your life miserable as you get it. That's what nagging is, isn't it? All right? Your life will be completely miserable unless you listen to me. So Krishna enjoys that. Or with the gopis, they even threaten Krishna sometimes with a stick. You know, don't you come near Radharani or we'll beat you. So, and Krishna has to dress up as a woman sometimes to go near to Radharani. So these are emotions. That makes life so interesting. Because these pastimes of Ram and Sita are a drama, and Ram and Sita are dramatists. You know, they're actors on the stage. They're into their act. It's not that they're thinking, we're just actors. They're not thinking like that. They're really enjoying the act. Because under the influence of Yoga Maya, Ram and Sita, they forget that they're God and Lakshmi, you know. Forget that. Because how could you enjoy things if you remember your God? If you remember your God, you can do anything you want. I mean, what's the fun of killing demons then? Is this thing, I'm God, yeah, I can do anything. All right, demon, goodbye. There's no fun. So the point is, Krishna, Ram, they want to have fun. What's the use of being God if you can't have fun, right? People have this picture of God is someone who just sits around judging you all day long. I was reading one Christian tract, and it shows God sitting on a throne, just, you know, you've been naughty, you've been nice, you've been naughty, hell, heaven, 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 hell, hell, hell. You know, it's just, that's a pretty boring job. That's Yamaraj's job, not Krishna's job. So, So in other words, that's why the pastime of Ram sending Vaisita occurs, because they want to enjoy that mood of separation, that intense feeling of separation from each other. And then ultimately separation, connection, and then there's Purva Rag, which is right before the connection, right before meeting again. And this emotions are enjoyable. Even what apparently appears to be an unpleasant emotion is actually enjoyable, because that makes life interesting and fun. So then we're going to compare this to Krishna's pastimes when he leaves Vrindavan. Same thing. Externally, he left Vrindavan to accomplish his mission. You know, Prajanaya Sadhanam Vindasya Jadushkritam. Why? Because he wanted to, as in the Mahabharata war, he wanted to kill all the demoniac kings on earth. Those demoniac kings had been demons, according to the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that had taken birth on the earth as kings. All the demons being defeated by Vishnu and the demigods tried to escape, and they took birth as kings. And so, of course, in Kali Yuga, many demons take birth in another varna, which we won't mention, because some of you may get offended. But not everybody who's born in a Brahmin varna is a demon, but many demons do take birth in a Brahmin varna in this earth in Kali Yuga. And also Kshatriya, and also Vaishya and Shudra, you know, etc. So Krishna, yes, he left Mathura, he left for Mathura in order to carry out his mission. First of all, killing Kamsa, and then other demons. You know, he fooled around with Jarasandha for a while, eventually running away and making Dwarka. And so many demons were killed by Krishna. So that's apparently why he left Vrindavan. But here are the gopis, who are quite young. Some acharyas say Krishna left Vrindavan at 12, others say at 16. So anyway, there's some differences in explanations. But in any case, he left them when they were just young girls, just like Lord Chaitanya when he left his wife. And so, to save the world. So, esoterically, that means his own reason, he did it so the gopis could experience this mood of separation and he could feel separation from the gopis. And he didn't really go back. And that's explained in the Brahma and the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, that he didn't go back because there would have always been an anxiety about him leaving again. Another reason he didn't go back, at least right away, was because had he gone back to Vrindavan, then all these demons who he had not killed would have actually attacked Vrindavan, because they were really angry at him having killed Kamsa, especially Jarasandha. So anyway, that's Krishna's esoteric or hidden reason too. He wanted to enjoy, and the gopis to enjoy, this intense mood of separation. And then finally, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, same thing, left his wife at 16 to accomplish his mission, because he knew that as a sannyasi, he would get more respect. That in Kali Yuga, actually, that's one of the points in Kali Yuga. It doesn't matter what type of rascal you are, if you dress as a sannyasi, people respect you. Just like, you know, I can dress as a sannyasi, people respect me, even though I'm a rascal, so it doesn't matter. I'm just kidding. Like Prabhupada had one neighbor who during the day would dress as a sannyasi and at night dressed as a householder. He lived next to Prabhupada because he wanted to collect money. So he'd go out. Incidentally, that's what a sannyasi's cape is for collecting. No, originally not money. It was for collecting foodstuffs and fruits and grains and stuff like that. But so that he would go out during the day and fill up his cape with all the goods, and then night turn it over to his wife and change back into his regular clothes. That's a Kali Yuga sannyasi. That's why sannyasi is generally forbidden in Kali Yuga. But anyway, Lord Chaitanya understood that people respect you just because of the way you look in Kali Yuga. You know, in the Bhagavatam it's described, if you've taken a bath, you'll be considered to be clean in Kali Yuga, even if you're doing other nonsense things. So, Lord Chaitanya's sannyas was a trick for preaching to save the world. Same thing as Lord Ramchandra sending Sita away to get the respect of his citizens. Same thing as Krishna leaving Vrindavan so he could accomplish his mission, Lord Chaitanya, externally. Now, internally, he left because, and the same thing, his wife would actually get a chance to experience Vipralamba, you know, intense separation. And he would be able to manifest his particular pastimes of being intensely separated from Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani. So, anyway, so what I'm saying is that everything the Lord does, first of all, is for his own enjoyment, and secondly, is for the good. To set an example, you know, yad yad acharati shrestas tatat evetaro janaha. To set an example for us, to do something dharmic, so we shouldn't get upset when Krishna does something, or when Lord Ram does something, or even when Lord Ram, Krishna do something to us, which is even more challenging. Just like the story in the Bhagavatam of Dharma, the bull, being beaten by the personality of Kali. He didn't blame Kali. He understood this was the action of Krishna for a particular purpose. So when something happens to us outside of our control, I mean, don't blame Krishna for things that were your fault. Let's say, Krishna made me make the mistake. No, you made the mistake yourself. But things happen to us outside of our control. Then we should understand that's Krishna acting for a purpose, even though it appears to be unpleasant, there's a reason for it. Let's take Prabhupada's example. When Prabhupada was preaching in Jhansi before he came to the Western world, Prabhupada was preaching in Jhansi and his whole program was disturbed because the buildings that he had were taken away by to make a ladies' bhavan, basically, by the politicians, the white politician's wife, actually. And so Prabhupada, it was disturbing for Prabhupada because Prabhupada put so much energy into it. But then Krishna had a better plan. Krishna made his business go bankrupt. Krishna had a better plan. Krishna made his wife sell his Bhagavatams for tea biscuits. But Prabhupada always saw Krishna behind these things, and he understood whatever Krishna does, it's for the good. But, you know, but it's tough in the meantime. And so that there's an interesting verse in the Bhagavad Gita that tells us how we should see things. 6:30. Yomam pashati sarvatra sarvam chamayu pashati dashaham na pranashati sachame na pranashati dashaham na pranashyami sachame na pranashati. That one should see Krishna everywhere and see everything in Krishna, and then he's never lost to Krishna, nor is Krishna ever lost to him. So this is very important for us. Understand, Krishna's good. Whatever he does is for a purpose, his own purposes, and the purposes of everyone else. It's always for the good. Even what we experience as painful in this world is for the good. So, that's my little talk. So, anyway, so I want to touch upon that point with Lord Ram, because people keep asking me the question about how could Ram send Sita away? Because it's really appears to be cruel. When I first heard the story, I used to get angry at Ram. How could you do that? You know, she's your wife. But something's happening internally that's really different than meets the eye. It's something that's really deep and esoteric, and it's love. Like that. Love and separation. Vipralamba Seva. So, any questions or comments? Yes.
Lord Ram's the entire life is exemplary in terms of showing how an administrator, how a king should be.
Yes. Maryada Purushottam.
Maryada Purushottam. But there is one more incident where a lot of people ask that question, and sometimes it is difficult to answer that.
Okay.
And that is killing of Sukriya's brother Wali by hiding in a behind a tree and shooting arrow.
Well, that was explained by Ram himself in the Valmiki Ramayana, that Bali actually said, you were acting irreligiously, Ram. You're supposed to be Maryada Purushottam. So how can you hide behind a bush? And then Ram explained in several different ways. One, he said, I am acting as the representative of the king. King was Bart. You know, he actually was Ram, but Bart was worshiping his shoes. So I'm Bart's representative. So you're a criminal. You've not only kicked your brother out of the kingdom, Kishkindha, but you've actually taken his wife. Now, I guess monkeys are allowed to do anything. But anyway, but you've taken his wife and you threatened to kill him. So you're a criminal. So when a king is dealing with a criminal, it's not like a kshatriya dealing with another kshatriya. Secondly, he said, you're a monkey. You know, when you're hunting, you don't... it's not the rules. It's not like kshatriyas fighting with other kshatriyas. And so Ram explained all that to Bali, and Bali actually understood before he left this world. And he said to his son, Angada, you should serve Ram. Not only serve Ram, but serve Sugriva. And so, it's an interesting story about Sugriva and Bali. They're actually half-brothers. Sugriva, very, 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 very interesting, that involves Aruna, the sun god's charioteer. This is a little bit of an unusual story. That Aruna, the sun god's charioteer, one time went to the assembly of Indra, and the only way he could get in was to transfer himself into a woman. So he became Aruni. This may not be a story for children to hear, anyway. So he became Aruni, and Indra became interested in him and had a child. And that child was Bali. And then he went back to the sun god. The sun god asked, where were you? Vivaswan said, where? And he explained, and sun god said, I want to see that form too. And Aruna said, no, you don't. And sun god said, yes, you have to do it. I'm your boss. So he showed him the form, and there was a little kid born. And that was Sugriva. So they were half-brothers. They were half-brothers. And the reason Hanuman, I mean, this is the whole Ramayana. As you can see, I've studied the Valmiki Ramayana backwards and forwards. So Hanuman, the reason Hanuman became the friend of Sugriva is because the sun god was actually his guru. And that for Guru Dakshin, he was told that he has to take care of Sugriva for the rest of his life. So that answers the question of why it was all right for Ram to do that. Because when kshatriyas were allowed to hunt, and even when Ram was in the forest, there was hunting going on. I mean, as shocking as that may seem, that's part of a kshatriya's dharma. In the previous age, we're talking about previous age, they're straight to you. So he was hunting, and there were animals killed sometimes. I mean, why did he fire the arrow at that poor innocent deer? The golden deer. Poor deer. I know, it was Uncle Marich. Anyway, so but it shows he was hunting. One time in the Valmiki Ramayana, Sita Devi tells Ram to put down his bow. It's an interesting story in the Valmiki Ramayana. She says, put down your bow. You're gonna start killing innocent Rakshasas. Because she's feeling some like sentiment towards the Rakshasas. And he says, basically, she tells him a whole story about how Indra one time wanted to defeat a sage, so he gave him a bow. And the sage became violent having a bow, and the sage fell down because of that. She said, and that's going to happen to you, Ram, too. And Ram said, no, don't worry about it. The sages have asked me to defend them and kill the Rakshasas, so I'm just serving the sages. So, anyway, so many interesting stories in the Ramayana. You get me started in the Ramayana, I'll go through the whole thing. Backwards and forwards. So, any other questions? That's a good question with many people ask. But it is answered by Ram himself. Yeah.
Yeah, Maharaj,
one
question. Ram and Sita, they separated.
Yeah.
What about service? Like, Ram, Sita would like to serve Ram.
which he's serving in Viparalamba. That's actually, in one sense, highest service in separation. I mean, I'll give you an example from Prabhupada's pastime. Prabhupada would sometimes send his personal servant away to preach somewhere. And the personal servant would start crying. And Prabhupada said, go and preach, you know, anybody can type. Anybody can type. But it's not exactly the same thing. But when one, that is also service, the citta is rendering through this intense emotion of separation, and Ram is experiencing it. Ram loves Sita just as much as Sita loves Ram. And Ram is feeling just as much separation as Sita is feeling. So, because it's Eka Patni Vrata. So, this is service. I mean, it's hard to understand. How is that service? I mean, we're looking at it from our material perspective. That's our problem. We're thinking, if I was there, it was me, I'd want to do that. And none of you ladies would want to do that with your husband either. Be banished to the forest. Well, actually, if you're banished to the forest, you could go to Prabhupada Village and do deity worship, because we need some pujaris there. So do that. You husbands, please do that with your wives, you know, because we're struggling right now, right? Am I wrong? So, but we're looking at things materially. These things are spiritual, you know, the spiritual bodies, spiritual personalities. The thought of someone is the same as someone. The name is the same as someone. Like, I can chant your name all night long and you're not going to be there. But I chant Krishna's names, I'm with Krishna. Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. Krishna's there. We're thinking because I don't see him, he's not there. But that's material concept. Krishna's there. Krishna say tomorrow, Krishna dite pa. You know, Krishna is in the pure devotee's heart. Krishna's in our heart. I mean, look at Hanuman opening up his chest. And there is Rama and Sita. So Krishna's in everyone's heart. Videsha Arjuna Tishtati, you know. Isn't it? Ramayana Sarvabhutani Yantra Runani Maya Ishwara Sarvabhutana. So, you know, Krishna's there. So we just don't realize it. So Ram and Sita are never really separated, because we're looking at it externally, physically. It's not a physical relationship. It's a spiritual relationship. But hard to understand. Yes, it is very hard to understand from our particular perspective. But the point is, whatever Ram does is good. And we mentioned that Rama is Maryada Purushottam. Krishna is not Maryada Purushottam. Krishna sets a bad example. Whatever Krishna does is good, but not as an example. You know, don't go around dancing with other people's wives in the middle of the night, please. Not a good example. Of course, ultimately, they were all Krishna's wives, because Krishna got married to them when he took the part of all the coward boys and calves during the year when Lord Brahma had stolen all the coward boys and calves. He expanded himself, and that's when the marriages took place. So Krishna literally was married to all the gopis. So there's no question of anything else going on. But at the same time, you know, there's a lot of things Krishna does, you know, I don't recommend for you, pinching babies and stealing butter. Not a good idea. You know, lying sometimes and being tricky, you know, it's just like, let Krishna do it. Krishna acted as God. He's not showing us an example. But Ram, Lord Chaitanya shows us an example. And Ram shows us an example. Krishna is just showing us the example of the supreme enjoyer, doing whatever he wanted, whenever he wanted, to whoever he wanted, and he didn't care. All right? So, wow, 7:10 already. So, no other questions? We take prasad, or?
So, I have one
question, yeah.
So, Whatever we know about Lord Ram is only for the first maybe 100 years, but he lived for 50,000, 60,000
years. 60,000 years.
So is there any recording or...
The Valmiki Ramayana talks about certain things like that dog story I mentioned. There's not a lot of information about those 60,000 years. There's, you know, there's some information of the Uttara Ramayana about things, certain things that happened, Lavan and Kush and singing the Ramayana to Ram. Not just the Ram Raj. You know, there are other stories that Prabhupada tells that are not in the Ramayana, like the story of the deities of Sita and Ram. One, you know, the story that one Brahmin had taken the vow not to eat until he saw Ram that day, and Ram gave him those deities of Sita and Ram so he could. Well, all right. So there were deities that were worshipped by Vivaswan. This is before Ram appeared, and he gave those deities to Ikshvaku. Ikshvaku gave those deities to Manu, and eventually those deities were given to Ram, and he put them in a closet. Prabhupada tells this story. And there was a Brahmin who vowed not to eat until he saw Ram that day, so Ram gave him those deities so he could see Ram in the deity form, even if Ram was out hunting or doing something when he was the king. So eventually those deities were given to Hanuman. And those deities later on were given to Madhvacharya. And those deities are in Udupi right now. If you go to Udupi, you can actually see these original deities that were worshipped by the Sun God's dynasty and by Hanuman. And there's also the deity of Dancing Gopal there too.
Are they the same deities in which Ram is in a dancing pose?
They're different deities than the Dancing Gopal deity. But they're Ram Sita deities there. They were discovered, they were given to Madhva. Madhva, of course, is the brother of Hanuman and Bhimsen, the Vayuputra, the three Vayuputras. So, but there's not a tremendous amount of stories for 60,000 years. I'm sure that a lot of things happened in 60,000 years. The Valmiki Ramayana doesn't deal with a lot of stuff during that period of time. Only that he had to do sacrifices with the deity of Sita right next to him. And you can imagine how much separation he was feeling. And, you know, obviously he had taken a vow not to have any other wife. And when he was in Dandakaranya, the sages wanted to have that relationship with him in their spiritual bodies. And they later on became gopis in the next life. The Munis, gopis. So, yes?
Sometimes people talk about the Rama's kingdom as only current day India, but is there any reference?
Yes. It was basically the whole world at that time. Of course, the continents look differently than they do now. Like you see, for example, the Europe sort of fits into North America like in a puzzle piece. So there's drifting of the continents. So you're talking about millions of years. It is obviously drifting of the continents. So, no, the whole world was under Ram. And in one sense, the whole world could be considered Bharatvarsha from one particular perspective. Bharatvarsha is actually the name of what we call, the whole world, but originally. But India is not a name in the Vedic literatures. Neither is the word Hindu. Hindu is a geographical designation. You know, just like everybody that was in the land, you know, like even Pakistan was considered part of India. India or Hindus, anybody who wasn't a Christian, I guess, or Muslim, was considered Hindu. So it's just a geographical designation. It's because of the pronunciation of Sindhu became, you know, in Arabic, you can't, it's like Sindhu, like that. And that's how Hindu came about. So, you don't want to tell that to everybody. They get upset. But there's no mention. In any of the Vedas, the word Hindu is just completely unknown. Yeah, Arya. Yeah, and of course we have Sanatana Dharma, which refers to, you know, what we're teaching. But sometimes when people say, are you Hindus? You know, sometimes we say yes because we don't want to just like go through a whole explanation. You know, a whole class on geography. People, but literally we're followers of Sanatana Dharma. The eternal principles that are not a sectarian religion. In fact, anybody who understands Sanatana Dharma can keep his own religion and be a better person in his own religion. We don't convert people. Just like if you go to the Christians or the Muslims or Jewish people, they have rituals to convert you. We don't convert people. You are who you are. You are a spirit soul. You are dehi nosminita dehi komaram jivanam jaya. You are in a body that's undergoing from birth to death, disease, and old age. You are going to reincarnate. This is science. Like when you're talking about science, you don't talk about a Muslim nuclear bomb or a Hindu nuclear bomb. Maybe you do. Anyway, see, no, the nuclear bomb is a nuclear bomb. Or this is my phone, this is a Hindu phone, you know. Maybe it is, because it's from Google. Isn't it? I mean, all the major tech companies are headed up by people from India. So, any other questions? Yes. Kings.
Yeah, kings. So like previous Yuda, so what would these demons be discussed as in Kali
Yuga? Uh-oh. You asked a controversial question. The Bhagavatam says many demons will take birth in Brahmin families in Kali Yuga. But that's not to say that everybody in a Brahmin family is a demon. Neither 5,000 years ago was everybody in a Kshatriya family or all the kings demons. There were many good kings. Many, many, many good kings. So, and there's demons taking birth in all sorts of families in Kali Yuga. I mean, the whole place is mixed up. Actually, in Kali Yuga, Kalo Shudra Sambhava. Everyone is a Shudra in Kali Yuga. And only by samskara bhavadvija, by the proper samskaras, can one become twice born. Actually, the word dvija is interesting. It also refers to birds. Why do you think birds are called twice born? Anyone know?
Eggs.
Because they're eggs. They're twice born. The mother bird lays the egg. That's one birth. Next birth is when the egg hatches, right? So in Sanskrit, a dvija could also refer to bird. Interesting. So Brahman is twice born. It's dvija. So actually you can tell if someone is demon or devotee. Actually another statement made by Lord Chaitanya is the demon and the devotee are in the same body in Kali Yuga. In other words, it's mixed. So we don't go around killing people. We kill the demoniac mentality by the chanting, by the process of bhakti. So we don't really worry this someone's a demon. Everyone is a fit recipient for Krishna consciousness, just like Jagai and Madai. You know the story of Jagai and Madai? They were two drunkards. They used to go to the pub all the time. That's a fancy word for the bar. Anyway, they would get drunk and they were woman hunters and everything like that. And Lord Chaitanya saved them. Lord Nityananda saved them. Jagai Madai. No other questions? Yes?
Maharaj, yesterday in the Bhakti Vichyam, we were discussing the word Matras Pashastra Kaunteya.
Yeah.
So there, in the last paragraph of the Purport, Prabhupada says that Arjuna is addressed as Bharata and Kaunteya,
yeah.
Signifies his greatness from both his mother's side and father's side.
Yes.
Just before this verse is Dehi Nosmin Yata Dehi, where he kind of condensed the bodily concept.
Yes.
Of life.
Yes, Krishna does both things in the Gita. Sometimes he's encouraging Arjuna. He says, though, you know, if you give up the fight, everyone will criticize you. You'll be known, you know, be known as a coward, basically. He says, one who's been honored, dishonor is worse than death. So Krishna's playing on both types of sentiments. There, you know, It's interesting. The question you asked is very interesting because sometimes Krishna goes on the material platform and sometimes he goes on the spiritual platform trying to... Sometimes you have to, like Prabhupada said, when you're preaching to someone, you have to convince them they don't know anything. So Krishna is using that particular technique, you know, showing, you know, you don't know, you're supposed to be such a proud person, the best of the Bharatas, and you don't even know you're not the body kid. You say to Arjuna. It's very interesting, yeah. That interesting. Actually, India is known as Bharata Varsha. Actually, there's two Bharata Maharajas. One was Lord Rishabhadev's son. Yeah, and the other one was Dushmanta's son, Maharaj Dushmanta's son. So Prabhupada said you can take it either way. The word earth or the India was named after either one. Bharata, Varsha. Okay, I think that's it. Thank you all. It's nice having such nice devotees here. And we're happy to be here in Charlotte. And we pray that very soon a temple can manifest. As we were mentioning before, when Prabhupada mentioned some of the devotees, when Prabhupada went to Fiji, just was transferring from one airplane to another, he spoke to one devotee named Vasudev, who, of course, at that time was Deoji Punja. He said, "Is there a temple here, Radha Krishna?" And Deoji said, "No." And Prabhupada said, "Make a temple." Based on that one word of Prabhupada, or several words of Prabhupada, the whole Krishna consciousness movement took off. So, if we take the order of Krishna very seriously, the success potency, or the word of Prabhupada, success potency is there. So we're saying, we're challenging the devotees here in Charlotte, make a temple. I don't care who does it. Make a temple. Because you've all been here so long that you're all starting to look old already, even to me. Sorry, ladies. But the men start to look old, not the ladies. Okay, so then we should end. All glory is to Srila Prabhupada, this divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.